This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on this Thursday, May 12th. I'm Gail Kaye.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Nate Burleson. We begin with breaking news overnight from Orange County, California, where a fast-moving wildfire has burned through some 200 acres and destroyed multiple homes in an upscale neighborhood. Residents have been evacuated, and a state of emergency has been declared in the city of Laguna Niguel. That's just south of Los Angeles. So far, there are no reports of any injuries. Tom Waite from our Los Angeles station, KCBS, is on the ground there. Tom, good morning. How are you doing? I hope all is well. What have you been seeing?
Good morning to you, Nate. Well, just a short time ago, the burned down home behind me, part of it collapsed. You can still see flames behind me burning. More than 20 multi-million dollar homes have burned down in this neighborhood. And right now, firefighters are still here trying to douse hot spots before winds pick up again.
Firefighters raced yesterday to a community on fire. The fast moving flames destroying multiple homes here in Laguna Niguel. The coastal fire even torched vehicles left behind in driveways.
That's ammo going off.
Yes, I know. I don't want to get hit.
The heat grew so intense, it appeared to set off ammunition stored in one house. Orange County officials say a 50 by 50 foot brush fire was first reported around 2:44 p.m. local time. Less than an hour later, the fire has spread to a roughly 3-acre area. An hour and a half after that, it was at least 10 times that size and showing no signs of slowing down. First responders raced building to building, ensuring residents had gotten out as the fast-moving fire raged, consuming parts of the community.
It looks like the cat has been saved.
Our KCBS cameras captured the moment a fireman returned a rescued cat to its grateful owner.
I know they have huge things to deal with right now, so it was very thoughtful for them to save my animal.
Fire season has started early this year, with the coastal fire being no exception. Already in 2022, almost 24,000 fires have been recorded nationwide. Those blazes have burned more than 1.2 million acres, more than double the number of acres that had burned by this time last year. Back in Orange County, the fire chief blamed climate change for creating the dry conditions that fuel these fast-spreading fires.
With the wind behind it and the fuel as dry as it is today, you're going to see fires run on us like this.
And we've learned overnight from the local utility company here, Southern California Edison, that they detected circuit activity in the time and place where this fire ignited. Edison is investigating. Gail?
Yeah, people want to know how it started. Thank you very much, Tom Waite from KCBS. Now to the pandemic and the continuing struggle to come to terms with what we're all living through right now. Today, the Biden administration will mark 1 million lives that have been lost to COVID. It is a huge loss that would have been unthinkable when this pandemic began. Even now, more than 2 years later, a debate is still raging in Washington over how to respond. Nancy Cordes is at the White House with more on this story. Nancy, I remember when the death toll was 100,000, and that made front page news because we thought that was unthinkable.
Right, and now the president is marking this new grim milestone, a million deaths here in the U.S., and he's going to be releasing, Gail, a pre-recorded speech later this morning to mark that solemn occasion. He has also ordered flags at federal buildings to be lowered to half staff to mark the 1 million American deaths from the pandemic. Meanwhile, White House officials are already warning of another deadly wave that could infect 100 million people with a new Omicron variant that is already in this country. president has been pleading with Congress to pass another $10 billion in COVID funding to make sure that the U.S. can purchase enough COVID vaccines and tests and antiviral treatments to be ready for the fall. But Republicans are saying they are not going to vote for that money unless they also get a vote on keeping this Trump-era pandemic policy in place. It's called Title 42, and it blocks migrants at the border from seeking asylum due to COVID concerns in this country. So that's an impasse right now. President Biden, as you know, came into office wanting to get the pandemic completely under control. And at one point, he even predicted we were experiencing independence from the virus. But while the COVID-19 death rate was actually on the decline last summer, we then saw these spikes from highly contagious Delta and Omicron variants, which fueled cases across the country. Today, the president is set to co-host the second annual COVID summit. It's going to be a virtual summit. It's meant to try to convince world leaders to invest more in COVID-19 vaccines and testing, because as we know, Gail, COVID anywhere affects cases and deaths everywhere.
All right, Nancy, we do remember that. Thank you so much. Over the past 2 years, we have tried to tell you as many personal stories as we can about the people behind those numbers. And let's think about that for a second, because every one of those million lives that have been lost has left behind devastated friends and families and colleagues. And we think those stories are essential to share as well. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, lead national correspondent David Begnaud has a very powerful essay where he revisits some of those families that we've met in the past 2 years. Their stories are a testament to American resiliency, and we think, we hope, they will inspire you too.
I think they will as well. But for now, we do move on to Washington and the fallout from the failure of the Senate and Democrats there to push through legislation to protect abortion rights nationwide. Female House Democrats staged a protest to show their disapproval of the Senate vote yesterday as the nation waits for a landmark ruling on the issue from the Supreme Court. Scott McFarlane is outside the high court for us once again this morning. Scott, good morning.
Tony, good morning to you. Congress took a largely symbolic vote on this measure to codify Roe versus Wade, and as expected, it failed, raising the stakes higher for this ruling from the high court. No twists, no turns. It went nearly straight down party lines.
The motion is not agreed to.
The Senate blocked debate on a measure writing some federal abortion rights into law, with all Republicans.
Their extreme proposal goes way, way beyond codifying the status quo.
And West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin opposing.
We should not be dividing this country further than we're already divided.
Vice President Kamala Harris presided over the vote.
And this vote clearly suggests that the Senate is not where the majority of Americans are on this issue.
Inside, House Democrats cross the Capitol chanting.
My decision. My vote.
And outside.
So what do you do next?
Well, next we just start campaigning like crazy.
I think it needs to be a drumbeat.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says Democrats in his own party are not sounding the alarm loud enough leading into the midterm elections. His state of Illinois is now surrounded by five states that are set to restrict or completely end access to abortion if Roe versus Wade is struck down by the high court, as anticipated.
We need to be talking about this, making sure that voters know about this from now through November and, frankly, as long as it takes.
As crowds continue to gather near some of the justices' homes, state and local law enforcement agencies are issuing awareness reports that demonstrations may become flashpoints for violence with little to no warning. Outside the homes of the Supreme Court justices, there's been a request for added protection from the governors of Virginia and Maryland. Meantime, Saturday, abortion rights groups rally at the Washington Monument across from the White House as they try to continue to have their voices heard. Nate?
We know this will continue to be the topic of conversation. Scott, thank you. There's a small glimmer of hope for Americans struggling with rising prices. The rate of increase in inflation slowed very slightly last month, though the annual figure was still close to 40-year highs. The Consumer Price Index increased 8.3% from April 2021. Food and gas prices are seeing some of the biggest hikes. The national average for regular gas hit another record high this morning at almost $4.42 a gallon. Carter Evans has more.
When I go into the grocery store, it's sticker shock.
Jackie Say and Dennis Stevenson are cutting back. I used to try to buy 1 month's worth of groceries, but not anymore.
The retired Maryland couple recently turned to food banks.
It's not like it used to be.
In April, prices for food at home were up more than 10% from a year ago, with bacon up almost 18% and eggs 22%. In addition to rising gasoline and energy prices, the latest numbers show the cost of shelter and housing was up more than 5%, which may be a low estimate, according to Bankrate.com chief financial analyst Greg McBride.
The reality of it is, any tenant that has renewed a lease in recent months, they've likely seen a much bigger than 5% increase in rent.
How long are we going to be seeing price increases like this?
I think we're easily in this for another 12 months.
January 1st, we raised prices.
How much?
Close to 10%.
Bobby Javaheri doesn't see prices coming down anytime soon.
You think there's more lids back there?
His company, Yeti Houseware Appliances, makes kitchen supplies in China, where COVID lockdowns are slowing production and rising oil prices are increasing costs.
You need oil to make plastic, which also makes air fryers. The costs of air fryers have gone up 5% because of volatility in oil prices.
How does the wheat crop look?
Looks pretty healthy to me.
On Wednesday, President Biden blamed the war in Ukraine for grain shortages.
Ukraine was the world's largest producer of wheat and corn.
Inflation is now driven by a number of global events, and McBride says the U.S. government can only do so much to stop it.
The Federal Reserve raising interest rates to slow the economy, that'll address the demand side, but it won't fix the supply chain. It won't broker peace in Eastern Europe, and it won't open the ports in China.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Carter Evans in Los Angeles.
A federal report is revealing startling new details about historic abuse in government-chartered indigenous boarding schools. For more than a century, the government separated indigenous children from their families, sending them to schools that prohibited them from speaking their native languages and forcing them to assimilate. The report from the Department of the Interior found that more than 500 children died at those schools between 1819 and 1969, but that number could climb into the tens of thousands.
And America's Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, the first Native American cabinet member, became emotional as she spoke about the report. She said her maternal grandparents themselves lived in government-chartered boarding schools.
I am here because my ancestors persevered. I stand on the shoulders of my grandmother and my mother, and the work we will do with the Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative will have a transformational impact on the generations who follow. I
thank you all. She called it a terrible system. Haaland said her department is launching a Road to Healing initiative to allow former students at the schools to share their stories, and she's also promising investment in services for the survivors. And there are a lot of them. This was many, many years, many families.
I was not even familiar with this story. It's just painful to read
about. So many generations have been impacted because
of that. It's the beginning of another reckoning in this country.
Yes.
All right, turning to the war in Ukraine, there are fierce battles underway in the eastern part of the country. Ukrainian soldiers are trying to regain more ground as they try to push Russian soldiers farther away from the city of Kharkiv. Meanwhile, in the south, the mayor of Mariupol says the evacuation routes for civilians have been cut off. Deborah Pata is in Ukraine. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning. The family members of those men trapped in that steel mill in Mariupol are growing increasingly desperate. They want the world to intervene before it's too late. Time is running out for the Ukrainian regiment living under relentless Russian bombing for over 2 months. It's hard to imagine how anyone has survived. The government has offered to swap the badly injured soldiers for Russian prisoners of war. The fighters are close to starving, many with amputated limbs, doctors operating without medical supplies. Lilia Stupina says the world is not doing enough to rescue these fighters, including her husband Andriy, whom she met in high school.
I know. Is it love at first sight?
No. Frankly speaking.
But now it's a fierce and passionate love.
Of course. I will take a gun and go to Mariupol by myself.
You'll take a gun and go to Mariupol?
Yeah. I will do everything to save him.
In the east and south, the fighting has not let up. Civilians forced to flee. They've witnessed horrors no one should ever have to see. and this teenager already wise beyond his years. The young have no future, he says. The old have no past. In Kharkiv, it's a game of cat and mouse. The danger is never far away. Ukrainian forces rush to take cover. It's a close call. But this time, no one is hurt. Village by village, they are pushing Russian troops back towards the border as they retreat, a trail of death and destruction in their wake. Like so many left behind, 66-year-old Raisa cannot believe it's come to this. She's lost her home, her hope. She's lost everything.
There's been a development on the world stage. Finland's leaders want to apply for NATO membership. It's worth noting Finland shares a border with Russia. Gail?
Yeah.
That is worth noting. I'm struck, Deborah, what you said. The young have no future, the old have no past. Boy, thank you very much.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.